I discovered that all of us remember the main point of a message over the years that we've heard. Something resonates with us, something, the essence of a message just touches us. We've held messages that have grabbed our attention, messages that had an impact on us, moved us, motivated us, changed us. All of us have these messages. In my 50-some years, there are quite a number that I remember very distinctly, that I can recall the main point, and I can recall some of the scriptures. Many of the messages that I do remember, of the many, there is one from about 25 years ago, 25, 27 years ago, that still stands out for me. Now, because we are modifying services today, we don't have a fan, do we? Hot. It's okay. But there's a message I want to present, which was a lead into another message, which I won't give today. So I have two splits. We've shortened services today in honor of Mrs. Heredia. We don't want to stress her time-wise. So this is a lead into another message, which you will get. And it might even be a familiar theme. It came from Bill Bradford about 27 years ago, and it came into a single phrase. It provides a balance for dealing with societal concerns, upheavals, whether we take sides or there are controversies around us. It's when I developed a three-sided coin. You know, pick a side. Side A, side B, you're both wrong because it's the edge of the coin. There's man's side, there's man's side, and then there's God's side. You know, the three-sided coin. There's Democrat, Republican, there's God's way. There's left, there's right, there's God's way. It gives us a balance in dealing with politics, gives us a balance in dealing with the pandemic that we're dealing with, whether or not we're vaccinated. It helps, gives us a balance. There's a phrase that has stuck with me. It's an overarching principle that, thank you. I kid you not, at work, for 34 years, I had a fan under my desk at work. People would come into the office going, "Where's this breeze coming from?" And I'd go, "Right there." I really do need it. That's me. The question was asked, where do you live? And the answer is three words, come and see. Where do you live? And the answer is come and see. Now, if I were to ask you, where do you live? You could say, well, I live in San Jose, I live in Milpitas, I live in Oakland, Salinas, I live in Santa Cruz, SoCal. Well, where do you live? Well, I live in a townhouse, apartment, a duplex, a house, a mobile home, an RV. You know, we can give a reasonable answer to where do we live? Well, Jesus Christ answered the question to one of his future disciples a little differently. Let's turn over to John 1. Turn over to John 1. We have an extraordinary exchange here. This is when John the Baptizer's disciples were going to move from being a disciple of John to a disciple of Jesus Christ. John's work was basically done. The one to whom he was a front man for had arrived, and his work was finished. John 1, verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, anytime you hear this word, behold, you've got to stop and say, what follows next? Because it's important. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. And just above it, if you want to read back up there in verse 29, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That was the job of Jesus Christ. He was going to be salvation. John the Baptizer was the front for Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him, back to verse 37, And they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek? What do you want? Why are you following me?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying? Where do you live? Where do you live?" And he said to them, verse 39, "Come and see." Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. Part of the discussion was they went and visited his place. But come and see is so much more than looking at the furniture in his house, looking at the kitchen utensils, looking more than the bedroll where he slept. Come and see. Verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. That is the title. Christ is a title. He is our salvation. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Talk to Peter. You're going to be stoned. Jesus Christ is the rock upon which the church is built. Peter's a stone. Peter is not the foundation of the church. Jesus Christ is. Oh, I know what I did. Okay. Okay. Verse 43, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And he was a little bit cynical there. Philip said to him, "Come and see. Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Jesus Christ read his character, read his mind, understood his character. Nathanael said to him, verse 48, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree. I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Well, you will see greater things than these. You will see. Come and see." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Come and see. That's a wonderful phrase, come and see. Jesus was beginning to tell his disciples that they would begin to see, begin to view, come to understand a whole new realm of existence. They read it in Scripture, but now they were going to see it in action. Now they would experience it through the association with Jesus Christ. They would see for themselves. Come and see. We could ask another question. Where did you live? So if we're talking about me, I lived in Brooklyn, New York. That's where I was born. I lived in Long Island, West Babylon, Long Island, no, Babylon. I lived in Babylon. I lived in Tampa, Florida. I lived in Pasadena, California. I lived in Brickwood, England for a year. And for the last 40 plus years, San Jose. But that's not really the question, and that's not a helpful answer, is it? It doesn't tell you who I am. It just tells you where I've been. But where did you live? Where did you live in your past? There is an answer. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 1. All of us have a past that we're from. We're not talking locations of houses or apartments or dormitories, but we're talking about where we lived in heart and mind. Where do you live? And heart and mind. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespass and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We know that Revelation 12, Satan deceives the entire world. 1 John 5, he holds sway. He holds an emotional sway, a control over the entire world. You name the discipline and he has a control over it. And he is the prince of the power of the air. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. That's where we lived. We were part of the system. But something happened. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It's a gift. You can't earn it, can't buy it. And, verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There has been a change. He has raised us up together. Now, this can mean just two things. We are raised in the resurrection, which has not happened yet. Or he has, through forgiveness, taken away the sin and the death penalty. We are now heading toward God's kingdom, and we have life from above. We are living a different life. Come and see. It's not about furniture. It's not about apartments. It's not about IKEA. It's not about the different types of manufacturers. Let's see how this took place in the life of Jesus Christ. We have been raised up together. We now live with Jesus Christ. We know through Scripture that we now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have God's Spirit in us. We are connected with God. We are at one with God through his Holy Spirit. Where do you live? We have physical trappings around us, but we have a new realm by which we live our lives. We have a new realm. John 5. Go back to John, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 5. John 5, verse 9. Do I have the right spot? I'm in the right spot. I think I've written something incorrect. Maybe it's 19. Yeah, verse 19. Sorry, not 9. 19. Typing, big fat fingers, and getting old. Okay, so verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. That's the world in which Jesus Christ lived. A world seeing and doing what the Father does. We could ask the question, in what world do we live? In what world do we get our understanding from? In what world do we have a higher level of knowledge and understanding? Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show himself greater, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. We're going to see things that are going to be impossible to explain, because there is the realm of God's kingdom beyond everything we see here, beyond the physical. He's going to show him greater works that you may marvel. What did they see? When Jesus Christ said, come and see, He was saying, I live by the kingdom, and here is the evidence by which I live. They saw their master, their salvation, Jesus Christ, defying physical laws that we see around us. He saw healings. He saw the healing of the blind, which is not just opening up the eyes, but also opening up the mind so that it understands what it sees. Healing of the lame, getting up and walking and running. You know, what did he say? Is it more difficult to say, pick up your bed and walk, or your sins are forgiven? And he picked up his bed and leaped and ran. I mean, the muscles had atrophied. He was lame. He healed lepers. He fed 5,000. Multiple times he fed thousands with just a couple of pieces of bread and fish. Through him, demons were cast out of individuals, sent away, having to obey Jesus Christ. They knew who Jesus Christ was. He was a physical individual. But Jesus came, while physical, he came from a different world. He lived in a different world. He understood that there was a new realm by which to live. Where do you live? Come and see. Come and see. Jesus Christ did live in a physical world. He was not exempt from temptation. We know that he was tempted in all ways, in every way as we are. He was not exempt from pain or suffering, certainly. But this was not the important place to him. Jesus Christ knew that there was another place where he lived in his own heart and mind, and eventually where he would go. That's where we should live. It's quite extraordinary what they were seeing. When he said, come and see, he was inviting them to come and see what was going to happen. He was inviting them to see the kingdom of God in action. He was inviting them to understand that there is a different realm by which we can live, that we should live. The world that we see all around us is going to end. All the nations of this world will fall subject to Jesus Christ. All the mistakes, all the errors, all the conspiracies, you name the trouble today, it's going to go away when Jesus Christ comes to rule this earth. It's all going to go away. Verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Jesus Christ has brought life to this world. And he started with a group. He gives spiritual life. The person, this person has been moved to the Spirit, moved from death to life. Doesn't mean we won't die in this life. Doesn't mean we don't have a physical life by which we live, but we are no longer heading toward death, eternal death. We are heading toward a future life. I mean, Mr. James talked about that. There is a life beyond this. There is an incredible life beyond this. Verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgments to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, I love that phrase, you know, again, behold, therefore, most assuredly. These are important words. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. We still live in a physical world, but our reality, the realm by which we live, is tomorrow, is the coming kingdom. We live by the kingdom of God today. We live by the tenets of the kingdom of God today. What rules us, what rules and controls our mind and heart, is everything about God. We live beyond the physical. The mistakes and errors of this life around us don't mean anything when we are entering God's kingdom. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. We are no longer subject to death as a result of sin through forgiveness, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He gives us life. And that life is in the kingdom. Where do we live? Oh, well, physically, we are here on this earth. Physically, we are in the United States. Physically, we are under the government of the United States. But we are not controlled by that. We are controlled by... Oh, I like the advertisement of Hebrew National hot dogs. Very good product, by the way. They have to have good quality because they say we have to answer to a higher authority. And when we live in the United States, we answer to a higher authority. We now live by the kingdom of God. Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and verse 12. Colossians 2 and verse 12. Is that a good place to start? Yeah. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised from him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith. When we are baptized and put under the water, if we are not brought out of the water, that's it for us. We are putting the old person to death. We go underwater and we are baptized. Baptism symbolizes a burial. Burial of the old way of thinking, living by the physical, living by what we see. We now live by faith in what is coming. Baptism symbolizes a burial, and then we rise to a different place. We now live by the kingdom of God. There is now the working of God in our heart and our mind. That is where we begin to live by God's way. It's a miracle that takes place. It's not natural. It's a miracle. Galatians 5, since we're in the area, let's go to Galatians 5. A couple of pages back. Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, 22 has a list of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not natural fruit. It doesn't come naturally to the human mind. But the fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits, which means you can pick and choose. When you have God's Spirit, all of these fruit are developed and growing within us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. 1 John 5, God is love. We are putting on the mind of God in us. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. It is a complete change of mind. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. We have put to death the old person. In baptism, we've put him under the water. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We have changed our heart and mind. We have changed our heart and mind. We live by the coming kingdom of God. We live by the tenets of God and the mind of Christ. We are in concert with what is coming. What's really neat in this change, in this format change, because we've changed where we live, where we think, our perceptions. What pushes us and shoves us around in society is just so much distraction. Because the reality is, living by God's law, that's what's coming. That is a real world. That's where we live. That's where we live. And one of the neat things is Jesus Christ said, in that new world, I'm going to make a place for you. John 14. I point out that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God has put his Spirit in us. And through God's Spirit, we are now at one with God, at one with Jesus Christ. We have the mind of God in us. Philippians 2:5. Put this mind in you that is in Jesus Christ. We do that through the Holy Spirit. We now dwell together with Jesus Christ through his Spirit. John 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare... 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to create a dwelling place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is where we are to dwell with Jesus Christ. We are to dwell with God. We are to be one with them. When someone asks us, where do you live? Can we say, come and see? And let them watch our life. Let them see the example of our life. That we live with and we dwell with Jesus Christ. I've often said it is not what did Jesus Christ do, because then we become the arbiter of what should we do next. What did he do? What would Jesus Christ do? Yeah, WWJD, what would Jesus Christ do? But it is what did he do? What did he do? As an example of how to live by the kingdom of God. I'm preparing a place for you that where I am, and he is at the right hand of God, that where I am, you will be also. You will dwell with me. John 12, back a page. John 12, verse 25. John 12, verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates it, his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This world is going to go away. This should not be our priority. Our priority should be the coming kingdom. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him the Father will honor. Where Jesus Christ is, that's where we should be. He came and identified a new realm by which the disciples needed to live. Come and see. Now where he is, we are to be also. Jesus Christ lived by the kingdom of God while on this earth. He lived by the kingdom of God. He represented the kingdom of God while on this earth. Colossians 3, quickly, I'm running out of time. I want to keep to my schedule here. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 1. We are to dwell with Jesus Christ. We are to have the mindset that we are living by the coming kingdom of God. We are impacted by the society, but we don't live for this society. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. We have a different perspective. We live by the kingdom of God. And as people look at us, come and see. Because we're learning to live by what's coming tomorrow. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members. Put to death the things which drive you on the physical plane, which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also yourselves walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these in anger, wrath, malice. You have to put off the physical things that drive you. You now live by a different world. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule you in your hearts. When the world is going crazy, how can you have peace of mind? Because we live in a different world. Our world is different. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and administering, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We are now living a different life. Verse 22. Bondservants. The word means slaves. Doulos. In Greek, it means to be a slave. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters. There were slaves and masters in the body of Christ in the first century. Paul wasn't changing society, but he was telling them, you live in a different world. He said, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of an inheritance, for you serve the Lord. In all that we do now, we have a different life. Whatever we do and we say, we're serving God by doing so. Where do you live? Christ said, come and see. Let me show you a different world. Let me show you a different realm that we live in our heart and mind. Yeah, we are impacted by the physical all around us. We have our aches and pains. We have governments that make good and bad decisions. But where do you live? We live by the coming kingdom. Matthew 6, kind of heading toward closure here, Matthew 6. Kind of one of the first memory scriptures I picked up 50 years ago. Well, yeah, 56 years ago. Oh, no, 58 years ago. Shush. I started early. Matthew 6. Verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus Christ was helping the disciples, and down through the centuries, helping us, who are Christ's followers, disciples of God, of Christ, that where our heart and mind is, that's where we live. That's where we make our decisions. That drives our actions and reactions. And where our heart is, that's where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. That's what drives us. We're going to close with a scripture in Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, just verse 6, which simply says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will reside. That's where I live. I'm going to live in the house of the Lord forever. We've been given, with God's Holy Spirit, the opportunity to do that now, to live with God, live with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit today. Where do we live? Come and see. When we rightly view the question of where do you live and that wonderful answer of come and see, our perspective of the world around us changes. We're no longer pulled and shaped by the emotions, politics, and conspiracies of this world. But what drives us is the kingdom of God. That drives us. That motivates us. That causes us to act and react. Come and see. The kingdom of God is where Jesus Christ lives today. And it was where he lived during his earthly ministry. That is where God the Father lives. And that is where we must live if we want our Christian journey to be successful. If we do not dwell in the house of the Lord now with the steward of that house, Jesus Christ, then we won't be living there at all. We need to be doing that now. We must seek Jesus' involvement in our life today. We could ask the question, where do you live? And answer it, come and see. How do you answer that question? That was helpful.